Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Just check the forecast, and all this week, after today, the overnight lows are going to be in the mid-30s.
Oh!
Good time to remind everybody about Coats for Kids 2024, which we launched a week ago today, because there are plenty of kids in this town, for reasons not their own. They are waiting at the bus stop every morning in the freezing cold without a coat on. So about 2 decades ago, maybe a little bit longer, we started Coats for Kids. Our goal this year, it's ambitious, $60,000. If you're willing and able to help, it would be very much appreciated. We're going to help 5 school districts this year: Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, Independence, Hickman Mills, and Center. If you can donate, go to kmbz.com, and that will take you to, click on the Coats for Kids logo, that'll take you to a very safe, very secure website, where you can make your donation or text KMBZ Coats, one word, KMBZ Coats, to 44321. And a huge thanks to our annual sponsor, Pinnacle Bank. They've got our back again, and we thank them for it. What is in a name?
Well, we're going to talk about that, Scott. I have so many things to talk about this hour, as a matter of fact. I was going through some old files over the weekend, old stuff, folders from the kids when they were born. I kind of want to start with that, actually, because, you know, when they send you home with your child, especially the first time, Scott, you don't know what you're doing.
No, no.
None of us knew what we were doing.
No.
I remember thinking, I cannot believe they are letting me go home with this child.
Okay.
And in all of the folders, I had 4 folders for the 4 kids. You know, the height and weight stuff, they pass their hearing test. At some point, you have to throw that stuff away. And as we are paring down, like, a lot of that stuff, it went into the trash.
Macaroni art project?
Kept some of that, but tossed most of it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read you a couple of the pamphlets that they sent us home with when my oldest son, who is now 24, was born. One of the pamphlets reads, "Just in case, parental guidelines in case your child goes missing someday."
Okay. Yeah, that's not anxiety-inducing.
Wow.
Followed by...
Wow.
Shriners Hospital's burn prevention tips.
Very important. Very important.
Get a burn blanket.
Followed by, in all caps, car crashes are the number one threat to your newborn's death. Your child, blah, 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 make sure the car seat is with them. I get that. I understand that. Never put the child in the front seat. Then it lists the other ways your child may die. Crashes, poisonings, falls. Followed by the Kid Care Identikit.
Very important.
We open this up. There is a photo of my child should he have been kidnapped. We dutifully filled out all of those things.
Did they send you home with a lanyard?
A little clip of his hair.
Ready to put a printed photo on the milk carton.
I put all of this. I did. I said, why don't we just put the kid's photo directly on the milk carton from the hospital? I don't know if they do this anymore. It's been 2 decades since I've been in a hospital with a child. But I wonder if maybe there's a better way to do it.
Well, you got to scare them straight.
Maybe a slow drip of information coming from the birthing center. I threw all of that stuff away. Now, the fact that I kept it for this many years is probably not healthy either.
Well, now what are you going to do if he goes missing?
Right?
You don't have a picture.
Don't have an identikit of that terrified-looking newborn.
Cut to the meat.
So in all of this stuff, I find my own birth baby book records, my little plastic wristband that they put on baby and mama.
Yeah.
All of those things are in there. And so is the card that my mother kept that they fill out that went into the little plastic bin that they put those babies in. And you know back then,
when you're in the maternity,
this is why so many kids got switched at birth. They would just dump you in one of those plastic square bins and put you back there with all the other babies. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. And anybody could switch the little pieces of paper.
I was going to say, this was before they put the tag on the baby's ankle.
It was. Back in the 70s, we did not have that. We just had a bunch of babies. You could walk by the glass. Do you remember this, Scott?
Well,
and
I don't remember.
They would hold the baby up. The nurses would hold the baby up for you to see through the glass.
For the adoring father.
For the father or the siblings.
And then pass out cigars.
Anyway, my little card, it's an index card that they filled out to put with little baby Dana, was in all of my effects. And I was born at 10, 11 a.m. I was a tiny little thing, 7 pounds, 7 1/4 ounces, 19 and a half inches long. I recognized my doctor's name, Dr. Peterson, who I believe is long since passed. But under baby name, it says Wright in a Sharpie at the top. That has always been my name. That is correct. Below that, under baby, it says Dana, followed by a name that is not mine.
What does it say, Dana?
Lynn. It says Lynn.
I thought your middle name was Leanne.
So did I. So you guys, I text my mom and dad WTF with this card. And I said, you know, is my entire life a lie? Why does this say Lynn? And my mom, as you know, she is doing totally fine. She has been discharged today, and we are thrilled for that.
I'm glad to hear
she was in the hospital over the weekend when I dropped this bomb that I believe I've been switched at birth, or I've been living in witness protection, and they just haven't told me. She was so hopped up on edge, she had no idea what I was talking about. My dad thought it was hilarious and he said, and I quote, "You've had so many names at this point, why does it matter?"
Ooh.
I mean, you did drop the lovely middle name that your mom gave you.
But I'm bringing it back. And now I don't know. Is it Lynn? I don't know what my name is. So she thinks the nurses made a mistake.
I know what happened.
Tell me, Dan.
Well, you know how you pronounce the little drawing utensil called a crayon?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Crayon.
Right.
You pronounce it crown.
Yeah.
So quite possibly the woman that gave birth to you, when
big
asked
juicy
what the name was going to be, said it in a way that sounded like Lynn.
Dana Lynn.
Instead of Lee Ann. And they heard Lynn.
Yeah, but when you're writing down a child's name that you don't want switched Lynn at birth in the plastic bins that they put those babies back in. Those were baby factories back then. You know this, Scott. The women cranked them out. All the babies were lined up in the room. So the boys had blue hats. The girls had pink hats. Don't you think that's something that the nurses would have said, okay, can you spell that for us? Even Dana could have had a Y in it.
Well, yes, but with respect, Leanne is not a very common name.
Oh, I disagree.
Really?
Leanne was a common first name. Maybe it's not a common middle name.
But Lynn is, or at least was, a much more common name.
L-Y-N, L-Y-N-N, L-Y-N-N-E.
True.
My parents think it's hilarious. Swear that I'm their child. And I do believe that I am. As I'm getting older, I really look like my dad. Look at these lines on my forehead. But I did find it.
We've not been getting Botox lately.
No. Hilariously jarring is the word I'm going to use. When you look down at what you think is evidence of your birth, the way you've always been told it happened, and you see something else written down, it was hilarious, but also like, I went, oh my God.
What
like,
is your real middle name?
Well,
is it Lynn or Leanne?
They went with Leanne.
Or
and
Lean.
So I started to peel back this onion. I go, were you considering a different name? And then you changed it. My mom, again, was hopped up on meds in the hospital. Well, she didn't know.
Do you know what's on your birth certificate?
Leanne.
Leanne is on your birth certificate.
On the birth certificate.
Okay. And now what's on your ID?
Well, that's been a lot of things. I got to go back and get that changed at some point.
We're well aware.
But I'm with the Dan.
TSA nightmare.
I'm with Dan. Big Juicy has a bit of a twang. So she might have been hopped up and they said, what's her name? Dana Lamb.
Did she have a twang in 1974 when
you
she was...
You think she just developed it?
You know, got pregnant like in Emporia, Kansas, and then moved to Topeka. It wasn't like... Well, she did grow up in San Antonio. I don't know.
A late onset twang?
My question is this. Have you ever found something out, I don't know, around age 50... You know, if you were switched at birth, we will entertain those calls because I know that that happened to some of you out there. But have you ever found out something looking through old dusty boxes? And I mean dusty to the point that I had a cold all weekend, Scott.
Yeah.
Dust, mildew, like all of the boxes with all of the old stuff in it. Ugh.
My mom did. She found out that the person she had thought was her father was not her father.
Going through old effects?
No. So my mom was brought up. She has two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother.
Yeah.
And all of her life, she thought that her older brother, Stephen Dunstan, was her full-blood brother.
Okay.
It wasn't until, and that wasn't the case. So my grandmother, Stephen Dunstan's father, my uncle's father, gets sick in the 1940s. And I don't know the full story, but my grandmother, I believe, if I hope I'm not speaking too out of school here, my grandmother had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was born. My mom was 40 or 41 years, no, she was in her mid-40s. We had just come back from Germany, if I'm telling the story correctly. And her brother called her up. She's in her 40s.
Yeah.
And my Uncle Steve said, Maggie, I need to tell you something.
Oh, God.
Stephen Dunstan's not your father. And she went and she found her biological father. She never met him. She never knew him. I never knew him.
So the brothers knew it, but they never told her.
Her younger brother had no idea. Only her older brother, because he's like 14, 15 years her senior.
Okay.
There was a huge age difference between my mom and my uncle.
And this was before 23andMe, like before all of these things. And so
the crazy thing,
have to have somebody tell you in the family for this to come out.
The crazy thing is we were living in Kansas, Fort Leavenworth, and he had just died in Missouri. And we have one picture of him, and that's it. And she apparently has other half-brothers and sisters in Missouri somewhere.
Was she, because I think a lot of people since 23andMe will tell you these things have been happening with frequency.
Yeah.
Since everyone starts swabbing and doing the genealogy thing. What do you think she was shocked? Was she puzzled?
She was shocked.
Yeah. Because that, you know, at age 40, you think A, your entire life, and it turns out B. Mm-hmm. Now, her mom is still her mom. The person who raised her is still the person who raised her. No, yeah. Nothing changes that.
No. But no, she was always under the impression that, because her maiden name was Margaret Dunstan. That was her name. She thought she was the daughter of Stephen Dunstan.
Who raised her?
No, he died.
Okay.
When she was three. But it's a great question. What have you found out later in life that you believed for so long that turned out not to be true? 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Dana Lynn, right? It's all been a lie all these years.
Whatever.
Ashley in Bonner Springs. Hey. Ashley, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey. How are you?
We're doing
good.
Well.
Go ahead.
So I am adopted, and I've always preferred to stand out against some people because my name is Ashley. I mean, there's almost everybody's named Ashley, so I always prefer to spell my name differently. So I call myself being unique and spelling it L-E-I-G-H and spell it L-E-Y.
Okay.
I met my grandmother as an adult around 19. She had a box full of, like, newspaper clippings and old birthday cards, I guess. But because there was an adoption, obviously, she wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're Ashley, I think we're losing you. Sorry about the connection, bro.
She said that she got the box from her grandmother of all the birthday cards that her grandmother got for her that she was never able to send because she was adopted. And on the front of every one of those cards, her name was spelled Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H, the way that she preferred it to be spelled.
Oh.
So she knew all along that that was the way it was supposed to be.
Teresa in Kansas City. Teresa, hi.
I was going to
say, is Netflix calling in?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
go ahead.
Hey, so my mom, I was raised as a, only child. I kind of pestered my mom, like, who's my dad? Who's my dad? She actually gave me a name. I actually went and met this person, told him that he was my dad, really didn't have a relationship with him, which is probably a good thing because his family just wasn't the best in the world. So when she passed away, I don't know, I kind of really didn't believe her, but I've always been into genealogy since a young age. So I decided to do the 23andMe and Ancestry. Well, she totally lied to me. Also, like, lied to me. Like, I was really mad at her for a while, but if you knew my mom, she's not a bad person at all. She was a wonderful mom. But the best thing I got out of it is I did meet my family, and I have two of the most wonderful brothers in the world and family on that side. It all worked out, and it's like your world is perfect now.
Good. Good.
But yeah, that was just shocking to me. I was like, told my husband, I was like, this is not what my mom said.
Teresa, thank you for the call. Darren in the Northland at KCI. Hello, Darren.
Hey. How are you doing?
Good.
Great. I love the show.
Thank you. It's yours. Go ahead.
I got two birth certificates with two different middle names on them. When I was young, I was born in Cleveland, but I got moved to different families, but it's a long story. But anyway, I joined the service, and my name was Darren Calvert Camlin, is what they have. And I had to go send for a birth certificate in my, I think it was my 30s, maybe 40s. And I have one that says Darren Calvin Camlin. Instead of Calvert.
Okay.
One says Calvin, and one says Calvert. Now, I had surgery at KU Med Center, and I'm a veteran, so they sent my medication over to the VA, and the VA wouldn't fill it because of a different middle name. The hospital had me as Calvin, and the VA has me as Calvert. So I don't know which is which. I asked my dad, and he said he thought they misspelled it.
Well, why would you have two birth certificates in the first place?
I know. I had lost my birth certificate, and I had sent for a copy from Cleveland, and they sent me a copy, and the copy said Calvin.
Yeah.
And then I found my old one, and it says Calvert.
Okay. All right, man. Hey, do appreciate the call. Last word goes to Sean in Warrensburg. Sean, hello.
So I am a big fan of studying family trees and history and all that. In my entire life, 40 of the 51 years I've been on this planet, I was told that I have Native American heritage in my bloodline from the New Mexico Pueblo Indian tribe.
Uh-huh.
Until I start researching it and then learning of the stories of my great-great-grandfather Esteban, who came from France, took a Jesuit, train to, New Mexico. Anyway, he was married and had children, and that's where my side of the family comes from. But when his wife passed away, he had four kids, and he needed to have somebody take care of the kids. And so without my great-great-great-grandmother's body even being cold, he went to the local Indian Pueblo, married an Indian girl, and that's where that comes from. And within 2 weeks after her passing, he's married to this woman to take care of the kids, had kids with her, but not in my bloodline.
Mm.
And I found out instead of being Native American, I'm Mexican. And so all these years of standing up for Native American rights, my wife would go, you can't do that. I find that offensive. And now she does it because I can't say that anymore. Anyway, it's so funny.
Wow.
Well, you can still find it offensive, Sean.
Well, I can find it offensive, and I still stick up for it. But now my wife teases me because of it. But to think you're one thing and then find out you're another completely blew my mind, and it's just crazy.
Sean, appreciate the call, man. Thank you for it. Quick break. She's in it, right? Sam Stevie the Third.
Or am I, Scott?
Dana Lynn Wright, Sam Stevie the Third. My name is Scott Parks on KMBZ. Can't stay out of trouble. Story here from NBC News. Federal prosecutors have accused Sean Diddy Combs of breaking jail rules in an effort to manipulate witness testimony and taint the potential jury pool in his case – according to a court document. Combs, who's 55, is currently in custody in Brooklyn as he faces charges of racketeering, sex trafficking, and transportation to engage in prostitution. The music mogul entered a not guilty plea. He's been denied bail. His legal team is fighting the decision to keep Combs in federal custody and has requested a new bail hearing. It's really tricky what he did. He borrowed phone time from, allegedly borrowed phone time from eight other inmates and then would call people on his approved call list and have them call a third party.
Okay.
Yeah, so on basically he used his fund account to buy the phone time from the other prisoners.
He is aware these calls are recorded, is he not?
I'm pretty sure they tell you that when you make an outgoing call.
I'm sure there's a sign right there above the phone.
Yes.
I've never been in jail, but I'm assuming.
In the movies, there's a sign.
Yeah.
And your lawyer says don't do that. And I'm pretty sure there's an audio recording that says you are going to be recorded.
He's also tried many times to get a gag order put in place against any of the potential witnesses to where they would not be allowed to talk about what went on around him during the alleged crimes.
A review of recorded calls also found that Combs instructed his family to contact potential victims and witnesses in his case, as well as promote narratives on social media to influence a potential jury pool in his upcoming trial in May. I think somebody knows that they're going to prison for a very long time.
Did you see that gold watch we were talking about? Gifted to the captain of a ship who rescued more than 700 passengers and crew from the Titanic, has sold for a record-breaking $1.97 million. Mm. The 18-carat Tiffany & Company pocket watch was given to Captain Arthur Ronstrand by the widows of three wealthy businessmen who went down on the Titanic. Hmm. Okay?
Okay.
Ronstrand changed the course of his steamship, the Carpathia, please, we all know that, during a journey from New York to the Mediterranean after hearing distress calls from the sinking Titanic. But that's the ship that showed up, Scott. I mean, all of the help came way too late. It was the first major ship that could pluck people off the rafts and out of the ocean. Mm-hmm.
Or the door.
And they were mostly deceased at that point.
I was big enough for two people.
The watch bears the inscription, presented to Captain Ronstrand with the heartfelt gratitude and appreciation of three survivors of the Titanic, Mrs. John B. Thayer, Mrs. John Jacob Astor, and Mrs. George D. Widener. As you know, Astor was the richest man on board the Titanic.
He died, though, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He went down with the ship.
His wives survived
because they went off in one of the lifeboats. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the captain, upon opening the watch, went, really?
That's it?
The Tiffany pocket watch?
Wow. Thanks. You're welcome.
I'm kidding.
Yes, that door was big enough.
We know the door was big enough, Sam. They've done studies. Walk into any supermarket and you can generally buy a banana for less than $1. But a banana duct taped to a wall?
How much?
It goes on auction in 2 days.
That's so stupid.
They are expecting it will fetch $1 million at Sotheby's in New York.
Now, did I dream this? Because I'm kind of in the twilight zone right now because I'm pretty sure we just talked about this within the last 3 weeks.
We did.
Because it was selling for $3.2 million.
No, it didn't sell for $3.2 million. It hasn't gone. It goes on auction on November 20th. That's on Wednesday.
Okay.
Just listen to this from the New York Post. Because lots of people are asking, how in the hell did this happen? If you go all the way back, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
The artist is Maurizio Catalan.
Con man.
The artwork Prankster. Is entitled Comedian. And it first debuted in 2019 as an edition of Three Fruits at the Art Basel Miami Beach Fair, where it became a much-discussed sensation.
No, the second one did because the first one was eaten by another artist.
Was it a prank? Was it a commentary on the state of the art world? Another artist, as you mentioned, took the banana off the wall and ate it. A backup banana was brought in. Selfie-seeking crowds became so thick that comedian was withdrawn from view.
Oh, my God.
But three editions of it, because really anyone can do that, sold for between $120,000 and $150,000.
We deserve all the stupid that
I
we
agree,
face as humans.
Sam. Mm-hmm. So it costs, you know, a couple bucks to do it. The three editions initially sold between 120 and 150 grand. And now some idiot is going to pay, what, $1 to $3 million for it?
$1 to $1.5 million is what it's estimated to get.
Now, keep in mind, you don't even get a banana
or
duct tape.
No, you
nor a wall to tape it to.
Then what are you getting?
You're buying permission to recreate that art,
yep,
and nobody else can.
Okay, well, I'm going to recreate it right now. Am I breaking some law?
Technically, no. Well,
if I brought duct tape in tomorrow, which I am now going to do,
okay,
and I duct tape a banana to the wall, am I somehow violating a copyright?
I bring a banana for lunch every day.
You might borrow mine. I mean, because what he's selling is his right that he owns to remake that art.
Okay. Let me just read from one of the art critics' estimations of what is happening here, okay? What Catalan is really doing,
oh my God,
is turning a mirror to the contemporary art world and asking questions, provoking thought about how we ascribe value to artwork, what we define as artwork. As you mentioned, bidders will not be buying the same fruit that was on display in Miami. That's long rotted and gone.
It was eaten.
Sotheby's says the fruit was always meant to be replaced regularly along with the tape. So to your point, you're not even getting a banana or the tape.
No.
You're getting the certificate of authenticity that allows you just to duct tape banana to a wall.
And then you have additional costs because you now have to go buy a banana and duct tape.
The very right. title of the piece, comedian, suggests that Catalan himself didn't likely intend for this to be taken seriously. But Chloe Cooper-Jones, an assistant professor at the Columbia University School of the Arts, said it is worth thinking about the context.
Why don't you just ask him? Why did you put it on the wall? He's still alive.
He won't tell you.
Don't make us sit there and think about it. Just tell us what you meant.
But that's the whole point.
I know. This is why modern art sucks.
I think he's making fun of rich people.
I think he's making fun of modern art.
Catalan is often thought of, quote, a trickster artist. That's what he's known for, kind of like a Banksy.
No, a trickster artist is an artist who has no talent.
By the way, you can recreate any art you want to without violating the copyright. What you can't do is sell it.
Okay, good.
Ah.
Then I'm going to go around tomorrow and duct tape a banana to... I'm doing it.
Sell it.
I'm going to do it all over the station.
It's not art.
It is my gift.
Bananas are going to be everywhere.
It is my gift to the staff here.
Thank you.
At Odyssey.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand out there and I'm going to stare at it and try to imagine what you're saying.
Feel.
What you're saying.
What does that banana say to you? If a banana is speaking to you, what is it saying?
It's so deep. Wow. Wow.
By the way, the banana, did you read this? Is going on the auction block right next to Monet's.
A real artist.
One of his greatest works.
Yes. A real artist.
Well, he has succeeded in making a mockery of the art world.
Yes. And I bet this guy, Catalan, isn't even an artist. He is.
He is an artist, Scott.
Okay. Well, if he is an artist, and define that, I think he was probably trying to make fun of modern art.
He is.
A la the big black canvas over at the Nelson Atkins.
Well, that's bananas.
Get out. Which, I don't know if it's still there or not. It was there 20 years ago. And it's just a big, gigantic, square piece of canvas that's painted black.
The top of the stairwell at the back of the
courtyard?
Third floor, yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently the work has not lost its appeal.
You're out. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Spirit Airlines has filed for bankruptcy protection today as mounting losses, unaffordable debt, increased competition for bargain-seeking airline passengers, and the inability to merge with other airlines left it with little choice. The airline said it will continue to operate as it restructures its debt, quoting here, guests can continue to book and fly without interruption and can use all tickets, credits, and loyalty points as normal, Spirit Airlines said in a statement.
No, what they're really saying is, dear God, please book a flight. We need you.
All right. What is this blue sky that I'm hearing about all over the place today?
I was going to say, nothing here.
Apparently, journalists are migrating there in mass. Celebrity actors, musicians are flooding in.
It's just the new attempt at a social media site as a certain portion of the population decides they don't want to be involved with X anymore.
So people are leaving what was formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
Apparently. They said yesterday, or check that Friday, they lost more X users in the last week. The second most highest number of users were lost since Elon Musk bought it. By the way, it's lost 80% of its value since he bought it.
That first dump was primarily bot accounts, or at least according to reports.
Okay. And so I just saw that Wink Starrett signed up. Grayson signed up this morning to Blue Sky, a buzzy platform that resembles the earlier days of Twitter before Elon Musk rendered it a technically unusable mess and an untrustworthy platform. This is obviously from an opinion writer at MSNBC. Blue Sky was developed in recent years by Jack Dorsey, a co-founder of Twitter.
Yeah.
As a kind of open and decentralized alternative to Twitter, Dorsey was on the board, but he has since left it.
Blue Sky talks up its anti-toxicity features. So, I don't know, is it easier to block people or easier to get rid of trolls, Sam? Here's the deal. Twitter is very useful during breaking news events and very funny breaking events that kind of bring the world together. Like if something really funny happens during sports, Twitter right. is hands down comedy gold for when that happens. Like even the blocked punt. You go to Twitter and you can watch everyone in the world weighing in different funny ways and memes and all that stuff.
Okay.
But outside of that, it's just the worst of the worst.
Well, apparently Blue Sky, I typed in Blue Sky and there are a ton of stories on it just today.
We'll see what happens.
Why do you sound so pessimistic?
I mean, they tried this with Threads. If you remember correctly, when Threads came out, they were like, record-breaking new account signups.
Right.
When then the news came out that every single Facebook account automatically got signed up for a Threads account. And it's like, oh, wait.
I don't even know what Threads is.
It's the same thing. It's
that was Meta's attempt at creating a Twitter.
It's something on the internet.
It's on the interwebs.
You wouldn't know.
It's on there.
Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
Dan, are you going to go over to Blue Sky?
Already there.
Oh, God. I don't want to sign up for another thing.
You know, Blue Sky was started in 2019. It was an internal project at Twitter as they were trying to figure out a way to decentralize the platform.
What does that even mean?
It's technical.
No, don't tell me.
It involves the internet. You wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. 2019, that's the same year that Spotify came on the scene.
Okay.
Or was that 2022?
Let's not talk about technology thing, Scott.
Yeah, Blue Sky's pretty cool.
It hurts.
It's got a feel of old school social media.
Doesn't Twitter, though, have the intellectual property rights to a format like that?
Not exactly.
No, it's just an open format posting service. Reddit's kind of the same way.
Yeah.
They're all kind of the same thing. It's just how they're laid out based on the coding.
So I could start up a Facebook lookalike.
Well, first you'd have to learn how to turn the computer on.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you did there.
Now, do you know what a browser is?
Come on, guys.
That little bar up top that doesn't have anything in it, that's your address bar. You got to go to that.
You guys are just being mean now.
And you can open up a new tab. You don't have to actually close down. Never mind.
We'll see. I don't know if it's going to stick, but Threads did not.
Printing out emails.
Got it.
You guys are brutal, man.
You can't access it from your typewriter.
All right. You're going to burn in hell. Hey, if you get a minute, if you're willing, if you're able, we really need your help with Coats for Kids this year. It runs through December 13th. We're trying to raise, with your generosity, $60,000 this year to help kids who don't have a winter coat in five local school districts. All of the money goes for new coats. All of the money stays here in town. If you can donate, go to KMBZ.com or text KMBZ Coats to 44321, 44321. Huge shout out and special thanks go to Operation Warm and our sponsor year after year. They're so great to have our back, Pinnacle Bank. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!